Welcome to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show, a real estate investment program. Listen and learn how to use real estate to build wealth and passive income streams for you and your family. We bring you experts every day to discuss and answer your questions on everything from single-family homes all the way up to 600-plus unit apartment complexes. And now, the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show.
Hey, today we are talking to a man who purchased an apartment community in March of 2020, the beginning of COVID. And I need to preface this with saying this is a guy who has increased his net worth just under four times in the last couple of years, but bought at the beginning of COVID. I mean, if you could handpick a time, maybe the worst time, and has a tremendous comeback story, you're going to want to hear this today. My question to you is, what is keeping you from getting started? I mean, if you have started, what is holding you back? There's no reason to wait. So I'm your host, David Ruzicka, and you're listening to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. I am with Naval Sehgal, and we're going to... Now, Naval, you need to just correct the name right there, because I wanted to say Sehgal because Steven Sehgal, your brother, right?
Yeah, he knows me. I know him. He doesn't know me.
Sehgal, yeah, there you go. So, Naval, so glad to have you with us today to hear your story. Why don't you first just to introduce yourself to our audience, who you are apart from real estate, where you grew up, your education, your family, those kind of things.
Yeah, first of all, thank you very much taking me on the call. I've been from oil and gas, living in Houston, oil and gas, doing for 20 years in power generation sector, which is very niche market. It's before the grid. The power plants, dealing with Department of Defense to oil rigs to all of the small companies who needs power. And I was born brought up in India and moved to the United States in around 2000. I did my education in India. Since then, have been just doing oil and gas. I'm married, three kids. The eldest one just is a freshman in the Texas A&M this year. Other than that, it's been much better being in real estate than oil and gas.
Yeah, we're gonna get into it. Yeah, we'll definitely get into that. I remember you were you're going to, I think I want to say seven different countries, and you can kind of correct me a little bit on that. You're making good money, but you're getting burned out with the travel. Describe a typical week and a month for you before you discovered Real Estate and Lifestyles Unlimited.
I was managing seven different international offices in South America, in addition to going to factory audits in Korea and China and way back to Europe. So my major region was Brazil, Ecuador, Mexico, El Salvador, Canada, all these places. So I was just going one plane to another for meeting clients and doing their audits for the power plants. So it was really hectic. I was at that point, if there was no meeting in the evening after the initial meeting was done, I'll just take a plane and just fly out. No need to stay even for dinner. I was that burned out. I was just flying and just meeting people all the time. But wow. It was good. Business was good. We were doing really good.
Mm-hmm. And how much time were you able to spend with your family?
I was gone for 10, 12 days at a time. If I'm going to Asia, if I'm going to South America, at least a week was the minimum. So off and on, I was gone, let's say, 2.5 weeks a month.
Wow, that's a lot of time. That is a lot of time. And that's time you can't get back, especially with kids.
Yeah.
And so you actually owned a little bit of real estate before you discovered Lifestyles. Tell us about that. How'd you get into that? Where was your idea? And what was your experience with that?
I always wanted to be into real estate. So start with single family. The only thing is, I was not aware of Lifestyle in that moment, and I was buying all the houses as cash down completely. The understanding was very different what it is now, that if there's no debt, all the money you get is yours. So it was there was no concept of leverage.
Sure.
And I had a warehouse, which a commercial building, which I owned, and looked into a lot of other businesses. And real estate was the only thing which I could pivot towards and get like a simpler life.
Yeah. And on those single family houses that you bought, did you read books? Did you listen to the radio? Where'd you, how did you figure out how to run those houses? And did you, were you able to run them successfully? I mean, I understand you had 100% debt, so your your rate of return was not what it could be, and you're out of, you weren't making your money work for you as hard as you could. But how was your experience with dealing with tenants and all those kinds of things?
It was like on the go, and on the number side, I'm pretty big on spreadsheets, and I had to maintain that on everything and anything. But learning about tenant side and everything, that was, as the problem comes, I used to resolve these things. Other than that, yes, I did a little research on the internet and read one or two books, but they were not to the point that you could understand really what's going on. They were just the overview of how to handle real estate, but not details, nothing about that, how to run the business. So it was just overview of everything.
Yeah. So probably pretty eye-opening once you joined Lifestyles and realized how much more efficiently and successful you could be at real estate. And, but I want folks to hear what you're just saying, because you went out and you had three single-family houses, correct?
Yeah,
so you went out and bought three single-family houses. You had nobody to talk to, nobody to coach you, to guide you along the way, no mentors. And yet you were moderately successful at it. I mean, that's the beauty of real estate, is people think that it's this black box and they don't know what's inside of it, and they're, if they've never dealt with it before, and they can't figure it out. And yet it is actually true. It is, it's, number one, it's very forgiving. Number two, it's an asset that you own. Number three, you can actually make money and be relatively incompetent at doing it, even, especially when you're talking about single-family houses. Multifamily, you become more of a slumlord if you don't know what you're doing. Inadvertently. But with a single-family, yeah, you're able to do that. And I want folks to hear that as they're talking about that. So in about 20 seconds, tell us first, just how did you discover Lifestyles?
It was just flipping on the radio channels. Discovered Lifestyles, heard it for a couple of times, and I don't know if I told you that I started eating my lunch in the car just listening to Dell about it. I was connected so much to Henry Dell, and he was right at the point all the time, not certain times, all the time.
Yeah.
And whatever he said was to the point.
Hold right there, Naval. Naval went from bouncing all over the globe, time away from family, to investing in multifamily, increasing his wealth by 4 times. Stay with us through the break.
Financially free if you're psychologically imprisoned by disabling belief systems.
Are you ready to break free from your disabling belief systems about money, real estate, retirement, and financial freedom? Then join us for Lifestyles Unlimited's live online free workshop. Learn the belief system that thousands of people like you have used to break free from corporate America and create the lives they have always wanted. Register at LifestylesUnlimitedFreeWorkshop.com.
Welcome back to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Now, let's get back to your map to financial freedom.
Hey guys, I'm your host, David Ruzicka, and you're listening to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. I am with Naval Sehgal, who went from bouncing all over the globe, time away from family, to investing in multifamily and dramatically increasing his wealth, all the while also increasing his time with his family. It's something that you can also do. Now, right before the break, we're talking about Naval is this guy who's like all over the country and all over the world, but he's going to his car to listen to Del Walmsley on the radio during lunchtime, which I think is, I love that for two reasons. One is, when we talked privately, he said one of the reasons he went to his car to listen to it is he was not technologically savvy enough to find out that there's a podcast and you could listen to the podcast, which makes me feel really good, because at least there's, because he's an incredible real estate investor, but at least maybe in that one area, I'm a little better than he is. It makes me feel good about myself. The other thing is, you're extremely accomplished, but you're still human. The other thing is, something is so compelling that you're going and sitting in your car during lunch. And you started to touch on this before the break. What is so compelling about this radio show with Del Walmsley that it drives you to set aside time and eat your lunch in your car whenever possible?
Yeah, regarding the podcast, it took me a couple of weeks to figure out. So now I listen to the podcast for the time, and I get when I want to listen to it. But yeah, it was really compelling to to the points he was saying, which was very true, which was not, I had never heard of all that systems and how to do that. It makes you think what exactly you're doing, what have you done in the past, and what's the future. So it was, I just wanted to see, and it was like an eye-opener to understand the markets, to understand the business in a different way, which you were not taught in the past in your schools or by your mentor. It was completely different, which attracted me to listen to more to him. And that was the reason I was going back in the car for eating my lunch.
Yeah, so most people are raised with this idea, I'm going to go to school, I'm going to study hard, I'm going to go to work for a corporation, and they're going to take care of me through a lifetime with my paycheck, and then in retirement through 401ks, IRAs, whatever, all those kind of things. Mm-hmm. Well, I didn't ask you this. What was your end game before you found real estate and lifestyles? What was your retirement plan? How were you going to get out of all this
eventually? I had no retirement plan. I think I was going to work all till the day I die. That was the plan. There was no retirement plan. I had no that I'll stop at 50 or 45 or whatever the number is. 62 is the retirement age. I had no plans to stop. I just wanted to work. And I like working, but I was just getting to the extent that it's getting too much that I need to stop, but I had no plans to stop the other way.
Yeah. Wow, that's good. That's good. So I'm sure that really was pretty fascinating to hear Dell talk about that, because one of the things he says is that, you know, retirement is not an age. It's a financial condition. I'm kind of paraphrasing. It is when you get to that point where your passive income exceeds your bills, exceeds your W-2 income. So you join Lifestyles Unlimited. You went to that two-day financial freedom seminar, which is where we teach you just A to Z, how to invest in single family, how to invest in multifamily. What were the key learnings in that seminar for you the first time? And I want to ask you, too, as you walked into that two-day seminar, were you a skeptic, or were you maybe kind of on the edge, or more of a true believer going in?
No, I think I was very skeptic. I had no clue what I was walking into, and I was thinking it's just another gimmick or something or marketing thing that they're trying to get people into. But once I go there and saw the people who have already done this business and were doing it in a good scale, and I talked to them, and we went for drinks after that with a couple of people, and I really had an inside story what exactly was going on, and that helped me realize, okay, this is something true, and people are doing on a bigger scale than I could do on my own or outside.
Right. Now, were you thinking about multifamily as you walked into that two-day seminar, or were you thinking more single family initially?
No, mine was multifamily. I was not much into single family anyway.
Okay, good. And then there was a key. You actually had a conversation with Curtis Haynes, who's one of our mentors. He's done, I think, over $2 billion in transactions. And there was a key where you kind of decided, okay, I'm going to take the next step and join up. And Dell was talking to you, and Curtis was standing there. Tell us about that conversation.
Yeah, it was a two-day class. It was last day, and Dell and Curtis were both in the class. Curtis was taking the class, and Dell was there. I think he came at the end. So before you walk out, he asked, do you want to become a member? Sign it. Dell, I'll sign it, but I need to go back and talk to Curtis. Curtis at that time had about, I think, 14 or 15,000 units, and I talked to him. Curtis, do you really have that many units, or is this just a marketing gimmick? He said, I rarely have that kind of stuff. Okay, now I'll sign the document. It's true.
That's all you needed to know. Just know he's actually the real deal. 14 to 15,000 units. That is amazing. And so you went from there. Mm-hmm. You began the education, began looking for properties. We're going to actually talk today about your, correct me if I'm wrong, third property, correct?
The Victorian,
yeah.
That's
yeah,
second.
That was second property. So you'd already had one property under your belt. I'm just curious, on that very first property, just kind of short answer, were you scared as you went into that? Were you thought you had everything you needed to go? What were your thoughts when you bought that first property?
No, I knew it was a smaller property. It was in Texas City, but it was a really I still own it. It's a really good property. I wasn't scared, but I had all the things I needed in front of me. I had mentors. I had the team, which could, if there's a problem, I could go. I had a management company. Everything was there. Only thing is, I just needed to get a push to start this thing and to understand the whole thing. Yes, anxious would be a better word to say that I was a little anxious going in. Other than that, it's still doing pretty good right now.
Yeah, and then that's one of the keys. You say you already had that team in place, all those people that you needed, and Lifestyles provides that. And I mentioned earlier, kind of jokingly, you know, a lot of times in multifamily, we buy properties that have been run by a mom and pop or an individual who's they're going it alone. They're a lone ranger. And what happens is they inadvertently turn into a slumlord because they're not financed. They don't have enough capital. They don't know what to do. And so they just hide out from the they don't want to answer the phone. They don't want to go to the property. They don't want anything to do with it. And so it becomes a slum. So they become inadvertent slumlords. And those are really a lot of times gold mines for Lifestyles members who are able to turn those things around. So tell us about the Victorian, the property that you found. How did you find that property? And what were the things that you initially liked about it?
It came as a portfolio deal to one of the brokers I became good friends with. And so I told the broker, I don't need two, I just need the one, which was the bigger one. It's 172 units. It's in Southwest. Very well located. It's got about 30,000 cars passing through that road every day.
And I'm going to need you to pause right there because we are right up close to the break. We're going to keep talking about this because this is the turnaround property that Naval is going to close on in March of 2020, the beginning of COVID. And so we're going to walk through that and hear how he did it. In his words, he did a lot more damage in 3 years with Lifestyles Unlimited financially in a good way than in 20 years in the oil and gas industry. So hang with us through the break. You want to hear the story.
Everyone is asking, is it still a good time to invest in real estate?
We see no indication that for the foreseeable future, and even the unforeseeable future, no indication whatsoever that real estate is suddenly not going to be the best vehicle for creating wealth and passive income for your family. And so that would say that now is the time to get in. And we very rarely talk about this because we talk about cash flow. But now we're talking a little bit about capital gains and what the future brings in that property. Because it's real. At the end of the day, you have all your cash flow, but you've got this nice capital gain when you sell. And the inflation that we see and the reasons for it are going to continue. And we're going to see great capital gains at the end of the line when we sell these properties.
Get in on the next free workshop. Register at LifestylesUnlimitedWorkshop.com.
Warning, listening to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show will change your life. We will teach you how to create wealth and passive income so you can be financially free. And now, back to your host.
Hey, folks, I'm your host, David Ruzicka. You're listening to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. I'm with Naval Sehgal. And I said just before the break, in his words, he did more damage in 3 years with Lifestyles Unlimited financially than in 20 years in oil and gas industry. Just a tremendous testimony of what he was able to do. Before we get back to him, I want to encourage you, the way everybody gets started with Lifestyles Unlimited is they go to the free workshop, and it's just LifestylesUnlimitedWorkshop.com. LifestylesUnlimitedWorkshop.com. I'm one of the presenters. I'm not presenting this next week, but we are having one on November 23rd. My teammates, they do a great job, probably a better job than me. And so if you've never been to one of the free workshops, go sign up. You're going to hear about the five ways we make money in real estate. You'll hear about forced appreciation, which is what Naval is going to do to this property that we're talking about today. And you'll get a broad overview. It's about a 90-minute workshop. It is online. So you don't even have to get out of your house to go watch it. You can sit in your office or your home and watch that. So go ahead and do that. That's LifestylesUnlimitedWorkshop.com. Now, Naval, we had just got to the point, I think we talked about how you found the property. There were two properties. One was the bigger one in your unit. Go ahead and walk us through from there. What were the boxes that were checked for you as far as this is why you like this property?
For me to go to even to look at the property, the location is the most important, and then comes the price per door. If the location is good, you can manage the whole thing. But this was like a portfolio deal, one across the street, which was kind of smaller. I didn't like much, but this one was really good property. 1984 build, good integrity of the building, good location. Had a little problem with the tenant profile, which we had to change. But we closed this property on March 20th, 2020, in 2027. Wait,
So you like this property because the location, because the price per door, the returns you could see, and it was a value add, correct?
It started as a yield play, but it turned into a really good value add.
Okay. So, folks who are listening, value add means you're going to add value to the property and increase the worth of the property. You're going to force it to appreciate. You're going to add value to it. Yield play means it's going to pay you cash. You like the property. What did you not like about the property? You started to get into this. Tell us a little bit about that.
The last owner was taking anybody and everybody in the property, so we had the term which is called the purple margin. We had a lot of those people, I'll say about 15 to 20%, which we needed to change as we take over. So that was the only part which I didn't like. That comes along with this kind of asset. Other than that, location was phenomenal location.
What was the condition of the property? What did the units look like?
It was clean. Outside the property was very clean. Inside required a little work, but not to that extent that we have to spend a lot of money on it. Mm-hmm. A little premium on the units would give us a good rent bump going in.
So with the building, would you say it's a Class A, a Class B, a Class C?
It was a B minus, but it was run as a C plus class by the last owner. So I saw that benefit going in there, that you could change the class and going in.
Yeah, so when you say a B minus, you mean the building itself, the brick and the mortar was a B minus, and then you say, but a C plus, it was the management of the property, taking anybody and everybody that wanted to rent a property that had a dollar. Is that what you mean when you say that?
Yeah.
Distinction between the two? I want to ask something, because I this kind of bears on a little bit. If you called the police, would they come to the property?
No. I think I told this. The average time for police to come in is about 3 to 4 hours. Nobody's going to show up.
3 to 4 hours. How'd you find that out?
We had to call the police.
You called the police and just asked them, how long does it take to get this property?
3 to 4 hours. And that's what they told us. That's because the property is not maintained and they had a lot of issues. And that's the time it takes to get us there. And now, after we did it all turnaround, it's less than 10 minutes, they're there.
Oh, wow. That's amazing. So, and that's because of the residents that you had on the property. That's what kept the police. I mean, it's like, oh, we're calling the police, or as I call it, whatever day of the week that is. Kind of thing. Okay.
Yeah, there was no management skill. There was nothing. So you could do whatever you want there. It was the property itself. The integrity of the buildings were really good. So I could see there's a big turnaround going on.
So tell us about the due diligence that you did as you when you purchased the property. I think on this one, did you have a mentor walk the property with you?
Yes.
Yeah, who was that?
Lee Carroll.
Lee Carroll, okay. And so what other due diligence did you do when you purchased the property, before you purchased the property?
We did all the file audits, all 100%, and walked all 100% of the units inside and out. Did all the electrical work, underground plumbing, roof check, the foundation, the survey, everything which you have to do. We did everything and beyond that. Even I went to the county and asked if they have open cases that could come back to us. Nothing was there. It was a very well-maintained property in a way, but not in the resident way.
Yeah, and so you said you walked every unit. Who did the walking of the units?
The team from Lifestyles, all the volunteers. That's a good part. You could just send an email and then 20 people will show up on the decided day. And we have all the sheets. We check everything, how to measure, how to see what kind of things are in the unit. And that sheets come back to me and I make a report out of that.
I want to really make a big deal about this because that's huge. When you buy a property and you're on your own, you can hire a company to do this audit of the of every individual unit, but they're not going to do every. They're going to do a sampling of the units. But Lifestyles has members, and it's part of their training, it's part of their education. They will go out and they will actually do. They'll walk the units for you for free because they're learning how to do this and they're participating. And people, we always talk about giving back and an abundance mentality, and so that's a huge, huge benefit to have that going in. So you did massive due diligence, really, in terms of the real estate world and the multifamily world. I'm just curious, when you did the file audit, did you have good leases on everybody?
Yeah, kind of, give or take.
That's good. That's good. I mean, sometimes you talk to people and there's like, yeah, we had we had handwritten napkins, things like that, you know?
But going back to the unit walk, there's a good point. Once you get the people from Lifestyle and they're learning, they will point out anything and everything which is wrong with the unit. And if you go outside, they will just do a generic thing and just point out what has to be seen. But we have a, we had a really detailed report for every unit, which is phenomenal, which you can use while you go in.
I'm constantly amazed at the power that Lifestyles Unlimited brings to our multifamily investors and our single family investors, which is why people are so successful. So Mike Tyson has a saying. He says, everyone has a plan until they get punched in the mouth. You had great, incredible due diligence. You planned for everything. Then you actually got punched in the mouth. That's when you need a team around you. And what I mean by that is you closed on March 20th and on the other side of the break, we're going to have to go to talk about that. I'll tell people what happened in March of that year. What happened is the same month that Naval closed on this property is there was a national emergency declared. Trump urges people not to gather in groups larger than 10. Fauci says people should not walk or be walking around with masks. It's not the protection that people thinks it is. Then he says mask. Then he says double mask. Then he says vax, no mask. Vax and mask. And wait for it. Renters get the idea that they don't have to pay rent at all. And yet Naval took this property, turned it around, did a great job for his investors. Stay with us on the other side of the break to hear the rest of the story.
Del Wamsley's Real Estate Investing Worst Case Scenario.
Let's say the Democrats took away all tax deductions away from real estate like Ronald Reagan did in 1986. And in 1986, we had stock market crash, a real estate value crash. The world came to an end for 3 months. Why? Because he took the value away from owning real estate for people who used it as a tax break. People like myself who got started at 87 go, you know, you can really buy this stuff cheap right now. In fact, I can buy it so cheap, I can rent it and make a 20% return. Cap rates were 20%. I buy a building and I made 20% of my money without leverage. If I put leverage on it, I made 30 or 40% return. Ungodly returns. Right now, you can earn less than 1% on a savings account. So do you think I hope that happens again? Yes, I do. In 2008, when the world crashed and cratered, I bought real estate 50 cents on the dollar. I said, well, what happened to the stuff you already owned? I kept it. It stayed full. We rented it. We made money.
Don't let the fear of losing money hold you back from making money. Join us for the next live online free workshop. Register at LifestylesUnlimitedWorkshop.com.
Welcome back to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. It's time to turn up the volume and fine-tune your passive income plan so you can create the lifestyle you've always wanted.
Folks, today we're talking about increasing your net worth in four times in just under 4 years. That's what Naval Sehgal did. I am David Ruzicka. I am your host for the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. We are working on your financial freedom. And right before the break, we talked about Naval purchased this property in March of 2020, the same month that he closed on the property. A national emergency was declared. Trump urged people not to gather in groups larger than 10. And guess what? Renters get the idea they don't have to pay rent at all. Some renters get the idea of that. So, Naval, kind of walk us through that experience. I mean, you're just a couple of days into this thing, and all of a sudden, the world goes crazy. Tell us what happened with you.
It was by the clock 7 days. So we closed on 20th of March, and March 27, the CDC moratorium came that you cannot evict non-payment of rent. And then the problem started happening.
Oh, and let me explain that. So you already had some people that you were planning. I mean, your plan was from day one, we know who we need to evict and get moving on this, correct? And at what percentage of your tenants were that?
From the fire audit, we had about 15 to 18%. We need to evict in the first couple of months as we go in.
15 to 18%. That's huge. That is huge. And there are people that you cannot get out now.
No, for give or take about 7 months.
Okay. What happens then?
They stop paying rent. And this was like, if one does, so does the other follows. And it was just spreading like that. There were good people in there who were paying rent. Somehow we were managing. Our goal was just to pay the bills. The distributions and everything was completely out of the picture because we need to pay the bills. We need to pay the mortgage. People don't understand. Our meter is still running, even though CDC has told them not to pay. We still have to pay the mortgage, pay the electric bill, pay the employees. And on top of that, I had to fire the management company, which didn't follow our plan. That was the other thing on thing.
Yeah, you had an idea that the management company would do okay when you walked into the property, correct?
Yeah, we had a plan. They never followed the plan.
Yeah.
And say, okay, if you don't follow, then you have to go. In the middle of all that, find a good management company, hire them again, and they had clear-cut picture. This is the plan. That's how we're going to do it, even though CDC is there and we have to follow all the restrictions and regulations from there. And they did, and we just had an upward trajectory after that.
And how did you get your information about how to operate during that time? I mean, you said you had about 6 months. You're kind of out of the game. You had you were just trying to hold on. Where did you get your information? How did you know what to do?
I mean, we were getting constant updates from Lifestyle operational team, and I need to give that to Randa Dick. She had been sending so much information of what's going on, what's going to happen, what's the next step. And when is this rule coming in or this rule is going to end? That is a constant update going on, which was kind of helping us. And we were seeing the light on the end of the tunnel that, okay, it's going to end, it's going to end. And then it ended. It was a great time.
Yeah, a time of celebration, I'm sure. And so you begin, what was the process at that point? You begin, but let me back up. Mm-hmm. Naval is talking about our operations consultant, Randa, here in Houston. And tremendous years and years of experience managing thousands of units and working with many, many investors just like Naval who manage thousands of units. And so she is just a key person for making sure our members are able to run their properties effectively and efficiently and according to law and profitably. And so that is a huge benefit that he had right there because he's not in it alone. Again, not mom and popping it, not just calling a neighbor, hey, what are you doing? I don't know what I'm doing. Also, you have a kind of a mastermind group that you met mm-hmm. with monthly, our lead investor group. You had that as well, which is what, about 25 other lead investors?
Yes. Every month we have a lead meeting, I think every Wednesday or Thursday in one of the months. And everybody meets up. We talk about what the problem is, if somebody's having some certain kind of problems, and we try to resolve this, and we can do this. And there's so many people, if you put everybody together, there's no problem that other person doesn't have or have gone through. So there's always a solution.
Somebody else has experienced what you're experiencing right now. And rather than learning from failure and learning from mistakes, you're learning from success. That's a key principle at Lifestyles. You're learning from the success that somebody else has had and working together. Once the moratorium was lifted, you began moving some folks out, moving other folks in. What happened to the rents? I mean, because I know initially you were going to really upgrade this property tremendously and make it look beautiful inside and out right off the bat, but you couldn't do that because you're holding on to your cash. Make sure you have enough cash. And you were able actually to raise the rents with minimal rehab. What happened with all that?
We started doing just a partial rehab to get more qualified people in, and we were still trying to save money. We didn't know if the CDC would come back again and lock us down for another 6 months, so we needed cash to hold to pay the bills. So we were doing semi-partial rehabs and attracting people, and it started picking up. And now, on an average, we have done at least 40, 50 units, good upgrades, and on an average, we are about $110 increment of rent, which has a good impact on the NOI, the bottom line.
Yeah, a good impact. So if I remember the numbers correctly, you were planning on spending $6,651 a unit on rehab and increasing your rent by 5%. But instead, you had minimal rehab and you increased your rents by 10%, twice what you planned on. And you're what now, 98.3% occupied in that range?
As of now, yes.
As of now, which is a stabilized property, which is a great property. See, folks, it is all about the income. Folks think it's about the expenses. Yes, you need to control expenses, but you force the property to appreciate by increasing that income. Of course, year one, you didn't have any cash-on-cash return. What about year two? What was your cash-on-cash return to folks?
We're doing right now at 5.7%.
Did you have 401k before you came to Lifestyles?
Yeah, and it's still there.
Does it pay you any cash?
No. It just goes down. Every couple of months, I guess.
It just goes down every couple of months. You need to take that money out of there, Naval. There's a way to do that.
Yeah, I'm getting there, yes.
Invest it. There's a guy you can do that. I'll do that for you. And how much has your equity increased at this point?
So we got this for $10.9 million, almost $11 million. The property was valued at 5% cap, 15.1. But you need to remember the first year was a complete washout.
Right.
2021. Yeah. So all the work which was done then, 2021. And since then, we have increased about $4.5 million on that just 1 year.
Wow. Almost a 50% increase of 5% cash on cash. Again, in the middle of a pandemic. I mean, that is a huge comeback story. And folks, if you're listening, that is the power of real estate investing. That's the power of what Naval. I mean, Naval just did a bang up job on this thing. Tremendously impressive. Question is, tell us about the difference as you went through this. One thing you've learned along the way is the difference between growth and scaling. You said most people don't understand the difference in those two things.
Yeah, I've been thinking a lot about this thing since I joined Lifestyle and have more time on my hand to do that. Growth and scaling, most of the people don't understand. They are both also correlated to a certain extent, to a certain time when they break apart and have a different path. To have initial growth, you need to scale a little bit. That means you need to buy some more apartments or whatever business you want, and which gives you the money. But after that, no matter how much you buy, your life doesn't change. If you have 1,000 units or if you have 10,000 units, your life doesn't change. But the growth is your personal. And you need to improve your life, which I did, called oil and gas and getting to real estate. Improve your quality of life. Give back to the people. Let them have the same status. Let them learn and get away from, it's not a day-to-day job, but the monotonous of life.
Yeah.
So the growth is giving back. That's the difference. So to have growth, you need to have little scale. After scaling, improve your life.
Improve your life. That's tremendous. That's tremendous. I love that. And that took a lot of effort in the beginning, because I remember you said at one time you're looking at a property in Texas City and you're in Korea and you're calling your mentor at 3 a.m. And as folks are listening to that and the power of what you've done through Lifestyles Unlimited, folks, if you want to change your life, you have to move. You got to take massive action. I want to encourage you to take the time. Go to lifestylesunlimitedfreeworkshop.com. Great story, Naval. Thanks so much for being with us today. Folks, we are working on your financial freedom.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Ready for more of the map? Visit lifestylesunlimited.com. Explore our videos and articles. Click on the radio tab to access past show podcasts. View the radio show schedule and listen to our best of radio shows. Want to continue the conversation? Follow Lifestyles Unlimited on Facebook today. Join us next time. And until then, remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle.
The information and opinions you hear on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show are those of the hosts, guests, and callers and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.